Before we get started with our discussion, I would like to acknowledge the Dharawal people, the traditional custodians of this land on which I'm recording, and pay respect to elders past, present, and emerging. I acknowledge the stories, traditions, and living cultures of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples on this land. Today I wanted to share a snippet of a longer conversation that I had with the amazing Professor Andy Hargreaves. Andy needs no introduction. He is a speaker, author, advisor and researcher who advocates for equitable and inclusive education across the world. In this existential interview, we talked about what truly matters, the wonders of childhood and how we can better embrace change. I hope you get as much out of this conversation as I did with the amazing Professor Andy Hargreaves.
Why should childhood have its own value? Why is it so important in developing these wonderfully well-rounded adults?
Let's begin very personally. You talked about your own kids. We've got five grandchildren at the moment.
Yeah.
And
moment.
one of them is staying with us right now. Josephine. She's from Hong Kong. Her parents live in Hong Kong. My son and his wife live and work in Hong Kong. We haven't seen them for a long time.
Wow.
Because of COVID. So they've been with us since May, actually. And when I'm with Josephine, who's four, and spend the most delightful hours with her when, for instance, she'll open the garage door will open. And she'll fling out her arms and say, "Welcome to my world." Now,
beautiful.
Okay, you can't be like that with everyone when you're 45. It wouldn't get you very far with Vladimir Putin if you were negotiating with him, for example. But so you can't have complete innocence about everything. But what went on with Josephine at four, and she can count to Mandarin, and she can count to 20 in Mandarin. She can do all kinds of things, and she loves learning. She loves talking, conversation. She likes being spoken to as an adult a lot of the time, who has responsible views on life, including what I do or don't eat for breakfast and whether it's healthy or not. I'm not thinking about, here's somebody who's going to have a job that's not been invented yet. I'm not thinking about her 21st century skills,
yeah,
or a global competences. I'm thinking about how fully she can live as a child. And that doesn't mean literally infantilizing her. It means feeding her imagination,
yeah,
supporting her sense of joy, having conversations with her about difficult issues like bullying or meanness, for example, and answering all the questions as honestly as we can in an age-appropriate way.
Yeah.
And I believe powerfully, as do many other people, if she can live fully, not innocently, but fully as a child, with us and with her brother and with her friends and with the world around her, she will live well as an adult,
yeah,
and make a good contribution to society.
Yeah. And what is Annie, what's being a grandfather taught you? How has that changed you? I know we don't have an unlimited amount of time, but how has that changed you and your approach to the amazing work that you're doing?
I wasn't expecting that question.
I didn't send that to you. My apologies.
Those are the kinds of questions I like the best. I don't know if it's changed me, but it certainly developed me, I think. I retired a bit early from Boston College in the United States. I retired in my late 60s. And you can all think of different reasons for that. I retired a lot earlier than the vast majority of my colleagues. Professors go on into their 70s, sometimes their 80s even. Sometimes people wish they wouldn't, but many are still, you know, productive and contributing. It's one of those professions where age does not always wear you down.
Yeah.
But our three of our grandchildren were in Canada. And my wife and I, who retired in her early 60s from being a school principal, talked a lot about wanting to be with them more regularly when it was a source of pleasure for them, a meaning, and a source of pleasure and meaning for us. And when you retire, I mean, I'm really not retired. You know, like, I work almost as hard as I used, but I'm not full-time in an institution anymore. People always talk about the money and various other things, but really the biggest crisis you face is an existential one. So I was moving to Ottawa. It's a smallish city. It's not one of the world's leading universities because it's bilingual. So half of its citations are not in English, so they don't get the scores up. And it's cold a lot for a lot of the year. And I thought, what will happen to me if I go to the frozen north and I disappear? What will happen if all the applause stops?
Wow.
If there are no more invitations, if it comes to an end, what, how would I feel about that? And so I discussed this with my friends and with my family, and they said, oh, don't be stupid, you know, as soon as people know you're available, they'll be lining up to have you. And I said, well, you know, perhaps they will, but I really need to consider the possibility that they won't. And I decided I'd be okay. After 40 years, you know, I'd done some good work, not all of it, but most of it. And some people would say their lives were better for what I've been able to contribute. And I carry on writing, nobody would read it. And I'd do more walking. And I'd have my family. And when you bring moving back to Canada in 2018 and COVID together, and all the time I've had with the grandchildren in my life, it has enriched my life beyond anything.
Wow.
You know, I didn't have no relationship or a terrible relationship, but it has this incredible fullness to it, like when my own children were small. You know, I was a professor, so I was home a lot. I was home, you know, put the kids to bed, get them up, get them off to school, because my wife had to go to school before I did because she was teaching. So, you know, I could kind of do all that, do the ironing, do put the lunch on for dinner, could do all that. So it brought all that back and more because these children are young and I'm not worrying about money like I was worrying about money when my children were young, or worried so much about my time like I was worried about my time when my children were. So I think I'm able to be everything for them I was with my children when they were small and more.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast episode today. It's a privilege to get to share these conversations with you and continue to invest into our incredible profession. If you have a few moments, please do me a favor and leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or through whichever platform you're listening today. If you wouldn't mind also hitting the subscribe button and sharing it with your networks, it would really help to get the word out to as many educators as possible. There are different ways to connect in the notes below. including links to the website, the Facebook group, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you again for taking the time to listen. It means the world.